Today's Shir in Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, which we began yesterday, talking about the din of Sirtut, scoring the lines. So we learned yesterday that the Mechaber said that if you're not able to go and write the tefillin beautifully without scoring the lines, then you are allowed to score the lines. We continue today at the very top of Beis Amud Beis, where the Mechaber writes, "V'lo yisartet be'oferes." One should not score the lines with something that will leave a mark there, like lead, a pencil, for example, to score the line in that way. B'mnei shahamakom hasirtut nishar tzavua, because obviously you're going to leave the line then in place. You can't, as with an engraving, you're not having a mark over there of ink. Here you're going to have an extra mark of ink, and as we'll see, you're not allowed to have that, so therefore you shouldn't score it with a pencil. Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Chav Beis writes, the same thing would apply with any type of marking, v'chein b'dio, with ink, or b'sikra, of some sort of a red ink, v'chol chayotze b'zeh, or any other type of a coloring with a dye, as opposed to just etching it in with some sort of a stylet. V'afilu bein hashitin, also l'sartet bo, and even in between the lines, you're not allowed to have any sort of a marking on the page. V'chol zeh l'chatchila, the Mishnah Berurah says this is the ideal, l'chatchila, avol b'dieved ein l'hachmir, but if b'dieved you do have some sort of a marking there, then the tefillin is still kosher. And Ken Kosav Halechem Chamudos Val Yeraba, this is the opinion of the Lechem Chamudos and the Al Yeraba. However, in the Tshuvas Dvar Shmuel, Mefakbek Bezeh, he disagrees. Ma'od, in Mesurtut Peshum Tseva Shochar, Machmas Negios Os Ba'os Ayideh Hasirtut HaShochar. He says, you shouldn't have any sort of a marking there at all, because it could lead then to a lack of a space around each letter, because the letter will somehow be coming into contact with the line of the Sirtut, and that's going to be a problem. In Lo Dekos of Mitachas HaSirtut, he says, unless you're very careful to make sure that they don't come into contact with each other, then it might be acceptable with the Evet. But L'chatrila, everybody agrees, you shouldn't have any sort of a marking on the tefillin. In Dishu note 31, he brings down the chen lir shombon simone chosem, and likewise to put down any sort of a signature on it. I made these tefillin, or vizihu lishmira mignebo, or some sort of an authorization or authentication on the tefillin to protect it from being stolen, some sort of an ID on it. That would also be not acceptable. Olashem ishur ab sherusam, or to put a hashgacha on it of something like that nature. All of these kedoma, anything like this, kosav b'mikdosh mi'at sha'osu, one should not do this. However, Chelos Chuvas Igris Moshe brings down, and as well the Tzitz Eliezer bring down, Shein Lasos Kane, however, af mitzido ha'acher shel ha'klaf. One can't do this on the same side as the parashios are written, but on the other side, it would be acceptable. In the issue note 32, he brings down the chatchila tzara shelo yetzeva miyusov parshas. You shouldn't have any other sort of markings at all on the front of the parsha. Ukmosha kasev prima gadim b'shem alavush. However, avol b'diyevit ain't posim. But if you do have the markings there, as we pointed out from the Mishnah Berurah, it would be b'diyevit still kosher. He brings down from the Igros Moshe as well. Sha'af lach koch b'klaf below dio. So you shouldn't make any sort of engravings in there on the cloth. That would also be usher, except af im ein b'chakim. And even this is so, even if you have no letter formed from the engraving, from the etching in, but it's just lines on it, one shouldn't do that as well. In footnote 33 in the Dirshu, he brings down a halacha. What about if there's a space between the line, the etching, the scoring, and the writing? Does the writing have to be directly on top of the sirtut or right below the sirtut? So he brings down from the Shelos Tshuvos Habacha Chadoshos, She'ein Medaktik, and you don't have to be especially careful, Shiu Ha'osios Mamash B'mokam HaSirtut, that they don't have to be right up to the etching. The bottom line is they can be anywhere in there. The etchings are there to keep them in line. It doesn't have to be directly touching the line. However, it brings down from the Shelos Tshuvos Rabbi Akiva Eger, Legabi Mezuzah, Sefer Torah, Hasirtut Bem Likuva, in regards to Mezuzah or Sefer Torah, which must have the Sirtut, as opposed to what we said, Tefillin do not have to have the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Sirtut aspect. So by Tefillin and a Mezuzah, by a Sefer Torah and a Mezuzah, Im Hirchikon Harbe Me Hasirtut Psulos, there, if the writing is too far from the Sirtut, it actually is possible. And then he brings down the Pisrei Tshuva, the Das Kedoshim, who say, Shem Hirchikon Keshir Kash Pasul, a certain measurement. If it's the size of a straw, then it's too much. However, it's just the size of a barley corn or two, that not be Pasul. Then the Ramah writes, Hagah, V'yesh Omrim Shetzorach L'sarte Tomid L'mala U'lamatum in Atzdodim, then the Ramah says, as opposed to the Mechaber, who says you should not do this. In fact, Halacha Berurah brings down that the Mechaber would say that you're not allowed to do Sirtut unless you absolutely need to, because you can't write it well without the Sirtut. But the Ramah says over here that you should do this Sirtut even if you can write it very well, and you should do the Sirtut on the top and on the bottom and on the sides, Even though you could write a beautiful pair of tefillin, even without the sirtut, and he says, V'chei Noagin, bringing down in the name of the Baruch Sha'amar, and the Mordechai, and the Sefer Truma, and the Smag, that this is the minhag, that we do the sirtut today, no matter what, no matter how good you are, if you don't need the sirtut, we still do it. And in the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Ukayom Noagu Hakol Lesartet Bechol Hashita. Nowadays, the custom is to do every single line to go and make sirtut on it. And the Halacha Berurah brings down that this is the minhag even among Sfardim apparently today, that they make sirtut all over the tefillin, and this is on the top and on the bottom and on the sides as well as on each loin. Sif Zayin, the Mechaber writes, this is a long sif and it's no Ramah on it, no Mishnah Berurahs on it, it's just an explanation of the making of our parchments today. And the Mechaber writes, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, there is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that tefillin al haklaf, velo al hadechustus, velo al hagvil. Tefillin must be written on a type of parchment that is called klaf, and not on the type of parchment that's called dechustus, and not on the type of parchment that's called gvil. What exactly are the differences between these different types of names of parchment? So the Mechaber continues, we'll explain this all over the next few minutes. Kosvin al haklaf bimakom basar. The skin, the hide of an animal, can be divided up into the external side, which has hair on it, and then the internal side, which is towards the flesh on the inside. And then if you cut that in half, you have essentially now two hides. We'll call one the external hide and one the internal hide. Each of them likewise has a face that is facing the outside part, and a face that's facing the inside part. That a diagram is a little bit hard to explain, but let me try to put this into a perspective. We have the outermost part, which we'll call section 1. We have the innermost part of section 1, which we'll call section 2. That's the outer half of the hide. Then you have the inner half of the hide, which the outermost section of that, the external facing section of that, we'll call section 3, and the innermost section, which is the closest to the muscle, to the meat, to the basar, we'll call section 4. Now we'll hopefully understand the Mechaber. He continues that the part of the tefillin that you should use of the hide is kosvin al haklaf b'makom basar. You should be writing it on the part of the hide called the klaf, which we'll explain in a moment, that is the inner part that is facing towards the basar. V'imshin apostle, and if you don't write it on the klaf, it's no good. Now what is the klaf? What is the dechustus? What is the veal? That's what the Mechaber now says. Mahu klafu mahu dechustus. So he says, or bishasi budo cholkim osolishtaim. He says that you, when you work and develop and tan a hide, you have the entire thickness of the hide, you cut that in half, the external part and the internal part. The chelek achitza on the external part now, shu letzada seyar nikra klaf. That external half, the entire thing is called the klaf. Now that has two faces. That has the face that is facing towards the skin on the outside, the hair on the outside, and facing towards the inside. This entire section with its two faces, the hair face side and the basar facing side, this external half of the hide is called the klaf. Chelek achitza shu letzada seyar nikra klaf. Now the other piece, the internal piece, the other half of the hide, is called the dechustus. Hapnimi hadavuk labasa nikra dechustus. So you have this one big hide that's now separated into two halves, the external half called the klaf and the internal half called the dechustus. Each of these two, the klaf and the dechustus, has two faces, an external face and an internal face. The Mechaber continues, Ulefizeh, kiamrinan kosin ala klaf bimkom basa, when we're saying that you write parchment of tefillin on that type of parchment called the klaf, it means hainu bimakom hayoser karv lebasar. It's the external half of the hide, but on the internal facing side of the hide, the one that's facing towards the basar. The hainu bimkom chiburo kishu davuk dechustus. And this is the part that would be attached to the internal hide, the internal half of the hide. So it's the section called number 2 that I said before. The external hide has an outer facing side called 1 and an inner facing side called 2. And this klaf is the inner facing side section 2, which is facing inwards, and it will be attached to the dechustus, which is the internal half of the hide. I hope I haven't confused everybody too badly. Uklafim then, the Mechaber writes, the klaf, shalonu, she'en chokin osam, yesh lehem din klaf. The kosin aleim letzad basar. He says, nowadays we don't separate the hide into two parts. So we just have the external and internal all together in one big piece. And what we do is we call this a klaf as well. We don't separate it. However, in order to have it over here, that you're having it on the internal side, we are megarin, shemashi megarin klipaso hel yonish b'mokum seyar, enu ele kidei mashet zorich lesakno lachliko. What we do is we rub away the external hair. We'll see it's not really rubbed away. We'll soak it into a solution to get rid of the hair and we efface the outermost surface the section 1, Megarin Klipaso Yomi, remove this klipa that is on the hair side, and what is left behind is now called klaf, and we fix that up, lasakno lachliko, we smooth out and make the external surface 1, rub it down all the way. So now, afilo haymucholkin or lishnayim, hayatzorch legari menukach, and even if you had split the hide into 2, you'd still have to get rid of this external surface 1. Umitzad abosar, and now on the inside, which you have the entire dechustus there, plus the face 2 that's now not visible because it's attached to the dechustus, we essentially rub away harbe. We remove most of the dechustus, ach einish or elaklap buvat. So what we do, instead of cutting the hide into 2, the Mechaber says, is we essentially rub away a little bit on the external side, which we'll see we do with the solution as well, to remove the hair and smooth out and flatten out the external most side, face number 1. We essentially rub and rub and rub and get rid of section dechustus, which is sections 3 and 4. So we're really left with a slightly enlarged section 2, which is where you actually write the tefillin. That's called the klaf. I hope this wasn't too confusing. Again, it's very difficult to demonstrate this orally without showing it in front of you. Some of what I just said can also be found in Dirshu note number 36, who explains this again another time if you want to read this through carefully yourself to hopefully understand this better. The addition points out that the Brice and Shabbos tells us that this is a halacha l'moshe misinai, that the tefillin should be written on the klaf. Mezuzah, on the other hand, is written on the dechustus, on the external face of it, which would be face 3. And Sefer Torah is nichtav al hagvil, in the place where the hair is. This would be gvil, is the entire hide, and it would be on the external face 1 after you take off the hair. That's the side that you write the Sefer Torah on. So there are different dinim for both the Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzahs. Siv Ches, the Mechaber writes, Tzorech haklaf lios me'ubod ba'afotzim o besid. The way to properly make the klaf so it's a smooth, non-hairy, non-fatty type of a parchment is when you process it, that you process it with afotzim, which is gallnut juices, o besid, which is lime that's used in plaster. Vitzorach shiyem me'ubod lishmo, and one should say l'shem mitzvah tefillin when he's doing this tanning process and putting in the gallnut or the lime into the parchment. In Sif Katan Chav Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes that this placement of the gallnut juices or the lime is l'ikuvahu. If you don't do this, it's not kosher. The lo mikre klaf below that rak diftra. It's no longer called klaf. If you don't do this, it remains a hide called diftra. And if you don't put on these types of afotzim or sid in order to process the hide, you do not have parchment and it's not kosher. V'yaniach or basid, and you leave the hide inside the plaster. Halacha Berurah says today, nowadays we all use this lime, this sid rather than the afotzim. Achiyipo haseir me'elov below ayde grira, and this you leave it inside the solution of lime until all the hair comes off, and not that you rub off the hair, but that the hair should come off through this chemical process. And if you bring it out prematurely, you're not allowed to write on it yet, because it doesn't yet have the name of klaf on it, if the hair still is attached to it, and you cannot write on it, it's posel. He brings down, however, the opinion of the Meshivas Nefesh, who argues on this, and he writes, if you did take it out of the solution after 4 days, and even though there still is some hair left on it, nira d'bidyevet in kpeda, this would be acceptable on a bidyevet basis, because the lo talya b'seir klal, because we're not looking really on the hair, the kivan d'kvar hunach b'sid v'niskan kahogin lo mikri diftera, because the hair isn't what is the problem, it's the fact that it can't be diftera, and even if there is some hair on it, as long as it's soaked for 4 days, he says b'dyevet, it still is called now klap, and it would be acceptable. Halacha Berurah brings down, however, that our minug is to make sure that all of the hair is taken off, and you should not remove the sid, bizmanenu, haminug lavar ha'or besid, bitzorich lavaniach ha'or besid, ad shiyiplu ha'saros me'elein, you leave it in there until all the hair has come off, below yotzi ha'or min ha'sid kod m'chein, and do not remove the hair, the hide from the solution of sid until all the hair has come off. Halacha Berurah also brings down that this is halacha l'moshe misinai, that this requirement to have this ibud with either the afotzim or the sid, he brings this down in the bir halacha as well, that in the name of the prima godim, da ibud hu halacha l'moshe misinai. And it means, what is the ibud? Haina mishum de below ibud mikri or, because otherwise it's called diphtera, as we just said, it's called a skin, and it's halacha l'moshe misinai that you need to have klaf. The Gemara in Megillah says, the low offits, if you don't use this processing, it's called diphtera. The Bir Halacha says, in regards to this, it has to be Me'uvan Lishmo. The Bir Halacha writes, Ubeloze Psulin. If you don't do it Lishmo, it is Pasul. As opposed to the Sirtut, which we pointed out, does not have to be done Lishem Kedushas Tefillin. It certainly can be and should be, but if you don't, it's not Ma'ake. But here he says, this Ibud, this tanning process, this making it from a hide into cloth, must be done L'shem Mitzvah Tefillin. How do you do this? So the Mechaber writes, Tov L'hotzi B'sfasov. You should actually verbalize and say, B'tchilas, at the very start of the Ibud, Shuma Abdu L'shem Tefillin, that you're doing this L'shem Tefillin, L'shem Sefer Torah, whatever you're doing it for. Well, this we'll talk about more tomorrow. But in Sifkat and Chavdalet, he brings down that you should say it verbally out loud, but b'di'evid, dayo machshav, it would be acceptable if you just think you're doing it l'shem mitzvah tefillin. In the issue 39, he explains that this is because there are opinions that say you don't need the ibud lishma. So when you combine this with the idea that if you say it at least in your heart, not even saying it out loud, that that would be acceptable, so it would be good with machshav levad. But l'chatchila, one should say l'shem mitzvah tefillin. At what point should you say this? So this is really at the very start of the process saying that one should do this. And in Sifkat and Chafei, the Mishnah Berurah says, once you started it at the beginning and said L'shem Mitzvah Tefillin, Yoser Ein Sarich Lo Lotzio B'Sfasav L'Lachlo Shemis Abin L'Shmoa. Once you started it, you don't need to keep on saying it every few minutes. Ela B'Tchilasu B'Vad, it was enough. V'Afilu Nimshach Ibud Kama Yomim, even if it takes several days, D'Chol Osa Al Adas Rishona Osa, because every time you're doing it based upon that initial action, and therefore you don't have to keep on repeating it. The Halacha Berurah says if you only have tefillin that were not made with the ibud l'shem kedushas tefillin, you can put them on, but you can put them on without a bracha. Mishnah Berurah continues and says, what is the start of the ibud? Mikrei kishemesim ha'oros l'socha sid. It's called when you put it into the solution of sid. V'lo be'eshim esim l'socha mayim kodim, but not when you put it into the water. V'mnei dezeh lo mikrei adayin ibud. That's not yet called the beginning of the tanning process. That's just softening it up. The Halacha Berurah says, ideally one should say that one should be machmer and say l'shem kedushas tefillin when you put it into the water to soften it up. And finally, in Dershu Note 40, brings down that if another person is involved in the tanning process, so your original statement, L'shem Mitzvah Tefillin, cannot go for that person, at least according to the opinion that is brought down in the Bir Halacha. However, he does bring down the Chazon Ish that says, Af be'ofen shehim shich odam acher, if another person were to do this, nevertheless, mekom makom kosher, because we say, Shkivon shetchilas ibud hoy l'shmo, me'mele kol hem shech ha'ibud stoma l'shmohu. Since it was started off properly, m'stoma, it's continuing in a proper fashion. That concludes today. Share.